Good afternoon and welcome to Aceros Arequipa Second Quarter 2025 Earnings Conference Call. Joining us today from Lima, Peru is Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Today he will be discussing Aceros Arequipa Second Quarter 2025 results. Please note that all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation is finished, we will open the floor for a Q&A session. At that moment, further instructions will be given for the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Please be advised that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact the company directly after the call. For a copy of the earnings report or the webcast presentation that accompanies this call, please visit the company's website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release before making any investment decision. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Ricardo Guzmán, Aceros Arequipa Chief Financial Officer and IRO. Mr. Guzmán, you can proceed.
Thank you, Elisario. Well, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Aceros Arequipa second quarter conference call. We are glad to have you with us today, and we appreciate your continued interest. Before we dive in, let me walk you through today's agenda, which you can find on slide number two. I will begin by highlighting ESG recognition. Then I will provide an overview of our consolidated results before presenting a more in-depth analysis. And lastly, I will be sharing our update guidance for the full year 2025, after which I will open the floor for questions. With that, let's turn to our first agenda item, where I will cover a recent event and recognition in slide number three. As part of our ongoing commitment to sustainability, Aceros Arequipa has been recognized for 8th consecutive year with a Sustainable Management Company EGS distinction. Moreover, it achieves an outstanding rating, reaffirming leadership and responsible business practice on sustainability and sustainable management. The EGS distinction is granted by Peru Sostenible in partnership with the IFC, a member of the World Bank. It has become one of the leading benchmarks for corporate sustainability in the country. Now, please let us proceed with slide number four for an overview of our financial results. Please note that all presented figures are consolidated and unaudited for 2025. Additionally, any growth rate shown or comment on will be year over year unless otherwise specified. In the second quarter of 2025, revenue reached 1.2 billion, reflecting a 14% growth year over year. EBITDA rose to 215 million, a solid 29% increase year over year. At the bottom line, net profit was higher by 19 million or 37% increase and reached 70 million. By the end of June 2025, operating working capital requirements stood at 1,379 million, similar to the one recorded at the close of 2024. Meanwhile, we continue to advance our investment plans with CapEx totaling 52 million for the quarter. These investments were directed to our key projects to enhance our operational capacity and efficiency. Finally, net debt closed at 1,822 million, lower than the end of the last year, reaching 2.5 times EBITDA LTM. The reduction was driven by a combination of lower net debt and higher EBITDA. These results highlight our focus on value creation based on strategic long-term initiatives together with financial discipline. Please let now turn to slide number five. Let's now focus on the on the drivers for revenue performance. During the second quarter, consolidated revenue reached 1.3 billion, a 156 million or 14% increase compared year over year. This growth was mainly driven by higher revenue in Peru, which rose by 103 million or 11%, supported by greater volume in nearly all product lines, despite lower average prices. Revenue from other markets increased and reached 257 million, with higher sales in Bolivia due to better pricing and the US, partially offset by lower sales in Colombia, Ecuador, and other destinations. Regarding the breakdown by market, Peru accounted for 80% of total revenue, while other markets represented 20%. On a by-product type, rivers and wire rods category grew 12% year over year, supported by higher volume in Peru and increased prices in Bolivia. The merchant bars and bars for mining balls category increased 2% year over year, mainly due to volume sold of round bars for mining balls. The other category grew 26% year over year due to higher revenue in tubes in Bolivia and Peru, and higher sales of flat products and corrugated sheets in Bolivia, Colombia, and Ecuador. Now, let's move to slide number six to discuss operating profitability. Gross profit for the second quarter reached 245 million, a 24% increase compared to the same period of 2024. The gross margin rose to 19%, up 1.5 percentage points year over year. This improvement was mainly driven by higher prices in Bolivia, particularly for rebar and tubes, as well as stronger by-product sales. The higher gross profit contributed to an EBITDA of 215 million, 48 million above of the second quarter of 2024, representing a 29% increase year over year. The EBITDA margin stood at 17%, up 1.9 percentage points from the same period of last year. Now let's take a closer look to the drivers of EBITDA on slide number seven. As noted previously, the EBITDA increase of 48 million was largely a result of higher gross profit, which, excluding depreciation and amortization, rose by 61 million. SG&A expenses were 7 million higher, mainly as a result of higher variable personal expenses and third-party services, and other expenses increased 7 million, mainly due to higher US exchange rate commissions and sales tax transactions in Bolivia and some employee incentives. SG&A expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, represented 5.4% of total revenue, slightly lower than the 5.6% reported in the second quarter of last year. Moving to slide number eight, let's discuss the drivers behind our net profit for the quarter. During the second quarter of 2025, net profit reached 70 million, a 37% increase compared to the net profit reported during the same period of 2024. This increase was primarily driven by a higher operating profit, which was 36 million higher. Additionally, losses from net exchange rate differences increased from minus 20 to minus 30 million, mainly due to operations in Bolivia. Now let's move to slide number nine to discuss some debt metrics. As of June 2025, total financial debt stood at 2.3 billion, reflected a 188 million reduction since December of 2024. This lower debt was mainly attributed to a 138 million reduction on the balance on long-term debt and a 50 million reduction in short-term debt. The consolidated net financial debt reached 1.8 billion, which was 173 million lower than that as of December 2024. The net financial debt ratio to EBITDA reached 2.5 times, down from 3.1 times as of December of 2024. This was mainly driven by an increase last 12-month EBITDA and a lower net debt. As of June, the composition of total debt was 43% denominated in soles, 47% denominated in US dollars, 5% denominated in bolivianos, and the remainder in Colombian and Chilean pesos. Now let's move to slide number 10 to discuss working capital and CapEx. As of June 2025, operating working capital, which excludes cash and financial liability, was 4 million, lower than that as of December 2024. Days of sales outstanding decreased slightly to 37 days in the second quarter of 2025 compared to 38 days in the fourth quarter of 2024. Days payable reached 47 days, similar to the close of last year. And days of inventory decreased to 119 days from 122 days in the fourth quarter of 2024. Now let's take a look at CapEx. During the quarter, the total CapEx was 52 million, mostly focused on investment allocated towards the new rolling mill number 3 in Pisco, excuse me, and the new scrap cleaning machine, internal roads at the Pisco plant, among others. Now let's take a look to slide number 11 to discuss cash flow. As of June 2025, total cash balance was 485 million soles, 15 million below the number closed as of December 2024, mainly as a result of fewer debt and CapEx. Operating cash flow was positive by 272 million, mainly explained by a better EBITDA, partially offset by exchange rate effects, mainly from the operation in Bolivia. The net cash flow from investment showed a negative 74 million, primarily driven by investment in property, plant, and equipment of 103 million soles, which was partially offset by interest income of 13 million, asset sales of almost 8 million, and dividend received by 7.5 million. Cash flow from financing showed a negative 213 million, which included net debt payment of 116 million, interest payments of 68 million, and dividend payments of 29 million. Now let's move to slide number 12 so we can discuss an updated guidance for the 2025 year. Now we are updating the outlook for the 2025 full year guidance. We anticipate that revenue will grow more than 5% during this year, driven by better performance in Peru and Bolivia. We also anticipate a better EBITDA for 2025, reaching a figure above 760 million soles. Our CapEx target this year is around 221 million soles, a decrease from 2024 as we approach the end of this investment cycle. For 2025, dividend payments are expected to be around 95 million soles, 50% above of 2024. And lastly, earnings per share ratio is expected to close around 0.27, following a better profit for the year. We remain committed to delivering outstanding value to our shareholders by prioritizing high-quality investment, driving market diversification, and upholding our leadership position through ongoing innovation and improvements. Thank you for your time and attention today. We are eager to address any questions you may have in the Q&A session. Belisario, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat, and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If you want to ask a question, please send a text message or raise your hand on Zoom chat. The first question comes from Carlos Rojas. Carlos Rojas, please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations for your excellent results. Thank you very much for taking the questions. And I have four questions. Maybe you can just easy ones. The first one is you can update us what would you think is going to be your effect on Bolivia with all this election process and the effects that is currently the devaluation of the effects there, if you have any update on that, and how do you think it might affect. The second one, it's about the in the copy ruling. If you can tell us a little bit more, how long will it last, this protection, and if it's taken out, how bad would it be for your products. The third one, it's if you can just tell us a little bit about this high growth that you have experienced, where the demand is coming from, is more from large projects or is from retail. And the last one is this appreciation on the FX is helping you with better margins? Thank you.
Okay, I will start with Bolivia. What has happened in Bolivia is what we have been doing specifically this year. We have been taking debt in local currency and paying back the accounts payable that were in US dollar to Aceros Arequipa, which is one of the suppliers, as well as other suppliers from abroad. So with that, of course, the increasing exchange rate has affected our results in Bolivia. However, what helps our results in Bolivia is that our company over there has a dual business. It does not only import products, which have, of course, generates accounts payable in dollars, but it also exports shredder, which is by Aceros Arequipa. So there is a natural hedge for what the company imports, because when it exports shredded, it generates dollars. And what has been generating these foreign exchange commissions or costs is that it has triggered an increased prices in the local market, which, combining those aspects, the higher prices and the advantage that has our operation in Bolivia to export shred, it helps to neutralize somehow the effects on the exchange rate. Looking forward, hard to tell. Demand is still strong. We don't know how long the economy will stand a fixed exchange rate. But so far the economy is pulling for the demand of our products. We are very positioned with a low US dollar exposition. So in case that exchange rate goes up, it won't affect our operations there. But you never know if the exchange rate goes high and the economy gets a shock, of course it will affect some sales looking forward, but we don't have any prediction for that. In the copy side, well, as you know, the in the copy has put a preliminary tariff on some kind of wire rods, not all wire rods. It's a specific type of wire rods. This is a preliminary that will last 4 months, as in the copy kept evaluating the anti-dumping measures. The specific wire rod that is affected with this anti-dumping measure within all our portfolio of products is not that relevant. So if in the copy at the end decides not to go forward with the anti-dumping measure, we don't expect a whole impact in the company, because this is a small portion of our portfolio. But within those specific products, of course, it will have an impact. The growth that we have had has come from all abroad. No, it's between projects and also retail. And the last question, how does this appreciation of foreign exchange has affected our results? It goes the other way. When the exchange rate goes down, because our invoices are in US dollars, our income in soles is lower, no? But that so it affects our margins on a downward, but for a few, I would say a month or a month and a half, well, the new imports get renewed and our inventory get renewed with a new lower exchange rate. So then the margins go up again. And otherwise, if the exchange rate goes up, we get a bump on our margins and then go down once our new export imports get into the new exchange rate in our inventories. So that's the effect of how the exchange rate volatility affects our margins. Within our balance sheet, we hedge our US denominated assets with our US denominated dollars. So we try to have the same amount of US dollars in our assets and our liabilities. So any volatility in exchange rate is netted. So our difference in exchange rate on an individual basis in Aceros Arequipa, it might have some volatility, but it has limits because we are doing this policy of trying to maintain the same amount of assets and liabilities in US dollars. I don't know if you, Carlos, I answered all your questions, but let me know if you have any further or need any explorations.
Thank you very much, Ricardo.
There appears to be no further question at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Guzmán for closing remarks.
Okay, well, thank you all for your attendance to this conference call, and we hope to see you again in the third quarter conference call. Goodbye.